So I realized that I had moved in when I stopped caring how he spelled the town that I live in. How many of you are natives? You've been around. So is it H-E-L-L-A-M, Hellam? Is it Hallam? Is it H-A-L-L-A-M? Is it H-E-L-L-U-M? Or is it York? And when I started entering things online and something else came back, I thought, I give up. I don't care. And when I stopped caring anymore, I thought, okay, now I've moved in. There's a lot of controversies that never, ever end. So you think of the differences between men and women. I've been going on for centuries. and children and their parents. And north and south and east and west. And black and white and rich and poor. And we just, you know, teachers and students. Do those ever end? Got a lot of teachers here and students. Some controversies just never, ever end. And we come into the world of religion and it's the same thing. So you got Catholics and Protestants. You got infant baptism and believers' baptism. And there's other kinds of baptism I could fill you in on those. And you got one version of the Bible or another version of the Bible. You got choirs. You got worship teams. You got organs. You got guitars. You got big congregations. You got little congregations. You got storefronts. All kinds of differences, and they never end. And even within our own church. And so our own church, you know, we've gone through some controversies over the last 10 years or so. 10 years ago, there were about 250 people here. We got about 100, 115. And so we're asking, well, where's everybody gone? Well, there were times, you know, when Pastor Don left and a whole bunch of people left and Pastor Paul and Pastor Jeremy and a whole bunch of people left. And so we asked, well, why did people leave? And then you got this new guy, and he hasn't preached, you know, on a weekly basis for 16 years, and he's trying to figure out how to do it, and Lord bless him, but man, how long can we put up with that, you know? And he's learning, he's getting there. But you think back to the book of Ephesians, and they were founded in a time of controversy. So when the Apostle Paul went to Ephesus, from the very beginning, they were questioning. They were questioning how things were being done. And so they asked, is it Paul's baptism or somebody else's baptism that we should be united in? Or is it his teaching? Is it his teaching or somebody else's teaching? And then there were the idols. You know, as people were coming to Jesus and lives were being changed. Well, the silversmiths and the economy started to be affected because they weren't building as many idols as they used to. And it led to a great riot in the town square. And finally, the town clerk stood up and he said, hey, wait, let's just calm down. And things calmed down. But then the apostle himself landed in prison. And how are you going to pull that church together? How's Paul going to pull that church together from far, far away? So do we pull a church together? Is it about techniques? We change our worship style. We look and see what's working in other places. You know, we move preachers around. We get people to try new things. You know, we try sitting in different places. We try this and we try that. Or is there something different? Can we learn something from the Apostle Paul? Could it be that it's the cross of Christ that unites us, first of all? I'd like you to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and following, because what we see here is that it is indeed the cross that brings us near to Christ, because we were hopelessly distant from Jesus. Most of us, maybe all of us this morning, were and are Gentiles. There's not a whole lot that you can do about that. And Paul is speaking largely to Gentiles there in Ephesus. And he said, you guys, we're far, far away. And so you guys were in a negative way by the Jews called the uncircumcised. Some of you guys were not even circumcised. You didn't have that stuff done that the Jews had done to them, but neither did you eat the kosher foods. When you came to the temple, there was a dividing line, and you were not allowed inside that dividing line. There was a section for the Jews and a section for the Gentiles. I remember some years ago I went to Israel, and I went to see the Wailing Wall. I could go so far along that wall that I had to put on a yarmulke, even to get that close, and the women were not even allowed there. And then you could only get so far, and then you could not go any farther because you were not a Jew. And that's the way that it is for us. We were cut off from the people of God. And the Jews were called by God to present the Father to all of the world. Now, of course, they didn't do that. They kept the blessing to themselves. They were connected with the Father in heaven, but they kept it. They didn't share him with the world as they were supposed to. And so we were even more cut off from the Father. We were separated from the Messiah. It's sort of like in a if you tried out for a school play or a ball team, or maybe you applied for a job, or maybe you went to maybe you tried to buy a house or something, tried to get a loan, and you weren't chosen. And you're the kid on a ball team, and you're sitting on a bench while everybody else goes out and plays ball. Or somebody else gets the lead in the school play, and what are you doing? You're moving the scenery around. I know that's a great thing, but man, I wanted the lead. And I could have been on Broadway, but man, my life has changed. Or you applied for the loan, and oh, sorry, you didn't get it. And you were not chosen. And that's the way that it was for us in Christ. We were not chosen on our own. There's no way that we could connect with our Father in heaven because we weren't chosen. We weren't blessed. The Jews were chosen by grace to present him to the world, and we weren't part of the Jewish race. But then because we were outside even of the Jewish race, we had no way of knowing the Father in heaven. And so we were without Christ, that is, without the Messiah, whom the Father had sent on our own. We were without Christ. We were not citizens of the kingdom of God. We were strangers to the covenant, that agreement that God had made with Abraham, whereby people could be connected with him through sacrifice, which eventually would lead to the Messiah. We were cut off from that. We were without God. We were without hope. We were hopeless. Hopelessly cut off from the one who made us. But the blood of Jesus brings us near. Near to the one who made us. My parents were here this week. And sometimes my dad will tell the story about he has a brother close to his age. And they had lived in New Jersey and then they moved up to Massachusetts as young boys. And they were growing up there, not pretty close to Cape Cod, near where I grew up. And one day, a car drove up. And in that car was their former pastor from New Jersey. And in, I'm guessing, his wife's arms was a little girl named Janie. And my grandmother had always wanted a little girl. But the Lord had just given her boys. And their pastor in New Jersey knew a family that wanted to give up a girl for adoption. And so he brought Janie, who became my Aunt Janie, to the family. And she was an outsider. I don't know her background. I don't know if anyone ever found out her background. In fact, she never wanted to meet her real mother because she became such a part of the family that people would would just assume that she was related to my grandmother because she looked like my grandmother. She acted like my grandmother. When people would say, oh, you're so much alike, and they would just kind of nod their head, yeah, yeah, yeah. They just wouldn't even say, nobody knew that she was adopted because Janie became a Nan Felt. And she, who was totally outside of the family, became a member of the family. And that's what has happened to us in Christ. We who were totally outside of the family of God have been brought into the family of God through the work of Jesus on the cross, which has bought our way in. And his sacrifice, it was for everybody. The thief on the cross is probably the greatest example of that. And so you think of people, could we be good enough for God? Nothing that we could do. And that's proof of it, because here's a man who had committed some crime that, and we don't know what it is. But he was next to Jesus on the cross. And he said, will you remember me? Will you remember me when you go to your Father in heaven? And Jesus said to that man who could not do anything good enough for God, who couldn't go back to the temple and complete a sacrifice, because Jesus at that moment was giving his sacrifice for that man's sin and for the sin of all humanity. And anyone who would turn to him would know forgiveness of sins and would be brought into the family of God through the blood of Christ. And so it is for you and for me. Anyone who turns to Christ is welcome into his family, because it is by the grace of God through faith alone that we are brought into the family. We are brought near by his blood. But having been brought near, there are still divisions within the family, because there are those who were chosen originally and those who are not. But what we see in the next section here is that our Lord Jesus breaks down the wall, because Jesus is the one who becomes our peace in his person. We are united by the person of Christ. And so I imagine that in my father's growing up home, when little Janie was brought into the home, and then that family went back to Jersey, and my grandparents introduced little Janie to her big brothers. That they carried her into the living room and said, hey guys, here's your sister. And then I'm guessing that they probably went down the street and introduced little Janie to the neighbors. I'm sure they went over to church. They were involved in a church downtown. And I'm sure that they brought little Janie into church, you know, and my grandmother was probably proud as a peacock. Finally has her little girl with her little white bonnet. And then when it was time to send her off to school, then they would have brought her over to the school, and they would have gone into the principal's office or into the office and signed the name. And here is Janie Nanfelt. They represented her. They made the connection themselves. And so it is with Jesus, where Jesus himself is our peace. Jesus himself is at the right hand of the Father, and Jesus connects us with his Father. He says, these are my own. I gave my life for them. These are the ones that I died for. And he is our peace. And he represents us to all of the universe. He represents us even to the accuser of our souls. And he says, no, these are mine. I paid for them with my blood. He is our peace. He's our peace with God, and he's our peace with one another. He represents us to one another. And he's saying, these are your brothers, these are your sisters. And he does that personally. Because Jesus broke down the have-to wall. And so I told you how I couldn't go to the Wailing Wall. I couldn't get down into that section because I'm not a Jew. I don't know if there's anything that I could have done to become a Jew. Maybe so, maybe no. But there are lots of things that people had to do to become Jews in those days. They had to eat kosher. They had to, you know, they had to come to the temple. They had to obey the rules, which were beyond the Bible, in order to be good enough for the synagogue and good enough for the temple and good enough to be part of what was perceived as the family of God in that day. that Jesus broke down the wall. There was a physical wall separating the Jewish section from the Gentile section of the temple. Jesus broke down the wall by giving his life for us. But we have divisions between people, don't we? You know, I remember going into a church when we were first married. We went into this Episcopal church, an Anglican church in Canada. We were married, and somehow we ushered right down to the front row. And everybody's standing up and getting down, standing up and getting down. And we're like looking like, what do we do here? We really did not feel part of that bunch because we hadn't grew up in a liturgical tradition. There's division. And people walk into our church. I know people from a liturgical tradition, they walk into our church and they shake. They don't know what to do. They really, really feel. Or they see a pastor without vestments. What do they do? Or they hear about a Bible school or a Sunday school or an Awana. I remember hearing Awana. We had Awana here. I said, wow, what? When I first heard about that, because I'd grown up in the East and they were mostly in the Midwest at the time when I was growing up. We have insiders and we have outsiders. And when people come in, we say, well, you didn't have a church background. Or you have a church background and it's not like my background. I know Jesus now. And look at these wonderful things he's done in my life. And we have these divisions between people. We have divisions between denominations. We have divisions between richer congregations and poorer ones, black ones and white ones, alliance ones and Methodists and Baptist and congregational. We have all of these divisions among us. And Jesus said, forget it, guys. I've broken down the wall. And Jesus is the one that ties us together. Jesus is the one that bridges the gap. It's like, you know, you remember when Mr. Gorbachev went to the wall? Okay, so you weren't old enough to remember that, but I was. A great, great moment in history. And there was that wall between East and West Berlin. And Mr. Reagan said, everybody say it, Mr. Gorbachev, take down that wall. And that's what Jesus says to us. My friends in Helam, take down that wall. My friends in York County and Lancaster in South Central Pennsylvania, in the U.S. of A., in other places in the globe, take down that wall because I have bridged it. With my death for you. And Jesus then gave us joint access to the Father in heaven. He's saying to Jews and Gentiles, again, who would not have even hung out together, and those who had these huge barriers, he said, I've given you access together to the throne room of God. And so those of us who were far away from God and been brought near to God, those who were near to God because they were Jews, were also brought near to God, but made one and the same. And notice here that Paul talks about, he talks about the Trinity here. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are ushering us into the very throne room of heaven that we might be connected with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with the one who made us. And it's all through the blood of Christ. We who are far away are now brought near by our Lord Jesus. Most all of us grew up watching Mr. Rogers. And back in 1964... there was a black officer that was made part of the show, a guy named Officer Friendly. Any of you remember Officer Friendly, a black officer? There's some reruns out there. You've seen Officer Friendly, a black cop that came through Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And one day, Mr. Rogers, who was from Pittsburgh and a Christian minister, as I understand it, had a scene in the show where it was a hot day and it was getting toward the end of the show, and Officer Friendly came through on his beat, and Mr. Rogers had a swimming pool, so the story is told. And so he took off his shoes and his socks and he put his feet in the pool, and oh, does this feel good. And they said, hey, Officer Friendly, why don't you come on over? Why don't you take off your shoes and your socks. And Officer Friendly came over toward the end of that show and he took off his shoes and his socks. And you had in that swimming pool in the 60s not too long, right around the time of the Civil Rights Movement. You got a couple of black feet and a couple of white feet together in the same pool. And as he was reflecting on this years later, the man that played Officer Friendly said, "You know, we got all done with the show, and Mr. and Fred Rogers sang his song. He said, 'You make every day a special day just by being you.'" As he took his sweater off and, laid it on a chair. And Officer Friendly, after that show, he leaned over to him. He said, "You talking to me? You talking to me?" And Fred Rogers said, "Yeah." He said, "Now you understand." Jesus calls us together. Jesus bridges the gap. No matter what the differences may be on this planet, Jesus bridges the gap between people. He calls us together. He bridges the gap. He breaks down the walls. We're all in this together, because we are his temple. We are no longer tourists just passing through and looking on to his kingdom. We are men and women and children and teenagers who are part of his family, part of his kingdom. We're not like, like recent immigrants who always have to get a green card. And they always got to make sure that they're keeping up with whatever the immigration office says, or those who are on the other side of the planet. Of the ocean or of the wall. They are not outsiders. We are not like that. We are now insiders now, connected with the family of God through the blood of Jesus. And Jesus builds us into his house. And so the foundation of the planet is, of the house is that of the apostles and of the prophets. And that's why we use the book that we use, because it's through that book that Christ has been proclaimed, and that we learn of Jesus. And it's on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets that we learn of Christ, and that we build this house. And then there is the building blocks are the people of God from every generation across the eons of time, and of every language and of every nation, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, Spanish, people from Arab countries like our Arab congregation that meets here on Saturday nights. We are building blocks, a variety of building blocks, a variety of bricks, like you put in a brick wall, that build up, that make up this family, this household. But then the capstone is Jesus. And people disagree. Are we talking about a capstone, which in the Roman world was geometrically put together, engineered to just hold everything together? Or is it the cornerstone, which is at the base of everything and where everything is held together? It works either way, that Jesus is at the center of his house, and where everything is tied together, that holds everything together, in whom all things consist. And the resident, the one who lives there, the one who lives in this house that's made up of us and God's people from around the world and from across the ages, is Christ himself. God lives there by his Spirit. It's Jesus that lives in us and through us and expresses himself through his people to the glory of his name and to all of the onlooking universe. So this last week, we met with some district leaders from our family of churches for a meeting looking at something we call changing course. And I haven't talked with many of the board members about this. I want to get their impressions later on. But we saw God did some good things as we met together. We talked about statistics, but in a way that was, you know, we tried to figure out what's gone on over the last 10 years or more. But we talked about him, and I felt like in some God-honoring kind of ways, not trying to point fingers, but saying, okay, what happened here? What happened here? What happened here? We talked about how we might do things, how we might learn, and that's our desire over the next 6-8 months, to talk about how we can move ahead. But here's what happened as we finished the meeting. We started to ask, where do we see God at work? And we started to share things, places where we saw at work, God at work. And someone talked about this, and someone talked about that. You know, I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but the last couple of weeks I've heard people as they walk out the door talking about how there's a new spirit among us, that God is doing something in our services, and we're grateful for that. And as we finished out, you know, everybody was standing on a carport out there all smiling and laughing. And I thought, you know, Jesus is at work in our church. Jesus is at work among us. He is the one who is working. And yes, we can work to strategize and to try this and to try that. But it's Christ that we want to work in us, and that is working in us and through us. And Christ that is moving among us. And Christ that is displaying his glory to our area and through his larger church to the nations. And it's Christ that we long to see at work, that is at work in his house. Because Jesus himself said that where two or three are gathered, that then he displays his presence. He does things among us, and especially as his gathered people, that he doesn't do when we're alone. It's part of his plan. We are his house. And he's moving in and through us. You know, a year ago, I shared a picture from my office. And a picture of the Last Supper with a guy named Hyatt Moore, who is a painter, but also a Bible translator, but a very well-known painter. This is a big mural, I believe, up in British Columbia. As you see, painted the Last Supper, with the nations of the world surrounding Jesus. And so, going from left to right, there's a Crow of Montana, a Berber of North Africa, a Maasai of Kenya, a guy from China, someone from Ecuador, someone from Afghanistan. And then to Jesus' left, then there's a guy from Ethiopia, a Tetzel of Mexico, a Canela of Brazil, someone from Papua New Guinea, someone from Salish of British Columbia, and someone from Mongolia. An amazing picture of the diversity of the body of Christ. And we celebrated that, thinking about last year, about this time, thinking about the beauty of where we are headed, of where Jesus is drawing the nations to himself. But I'd like you to put on your imagination cap for a minute. What would it look like if you were to put 11 people, 12, 11, I guess it would be 12, from this room at the table? What if you put one of those, put one or two or three of the under 30 crowd at the table? Imagine putting someone with the over 30 crowd at the table. Maybe someone, we got one or two of the over, several of the over 80 crowd at the table. What if you put someone that you never met at the table? Someone very, very different from you. Maybe if you've been in the church forever and ever, amen. Maybe someone that's brand new, or maybe even visiting today at the table. What if you put someone at the table that is yet to come to the table, whom Jesus wants at the table, whom maybe you're going to invite to the cornament, or maybe to a fall service, or maybe to Explorers, or maybe to a holiday service at the table, whom Jesus wants at the table? Could it be, you know, someone said to me, could it be that this planet is expanding rapidly? You know, the population is just getting into billions and billions and billions. Could it be that that's happening because Jesus wants more and more and more at his table? And as you think about that, think about how Jesus works among us. How is Jesus at the center of the table? How Jesus is the one who gave his life for us. And it's he is the one that unites us across his family at Valley View and across his family globally and brings us together, but then shines through us as we give ourselves over to him. And Christ then gives himself fully to us. And then he lives his life through us. And people know that we are Christians by our love. Because what else would bring a group of people like we have here together? No, we tend to meet with our own kind, whatever that kind happens to be. Jesus calls us from a wide variety of kinds. And doesn't he seem to especially enjoy bringing very different people together? Place where I first served, hit the big time this fall. So I served at a church in Wheaton, Illinois, at the time called Blanchard Road Alliance Church, and they made the cover of Alliance Life magazine. That's our denominational magazine. And here's what happened. So the guy that I served with never left until recently. He was there like 30 years or something. And he finally retired. And they had a beautiful building, a congregation that had gotten older, but no pastor. And they went about a year without a pastor. You know, it's hard. It's hard to come into a church where there's been a pastor a long time, well-loved. But there was another church across town, and it was a younger church. It was a Korean-American church, second-generation Korean-American church. So speaking English, you know, as good as well as the rest of us. And someone said, hey, what if you got the two together? You got a church, a pastor with no building, a pastor in a younger congregation, but very Korean, not first generation, but second generation. And you got another congregation that's a little bit older. They got a beautiful building, but no pastor. And so what they did is they started getting the two boards together. The Korean board, the I don't know what you call them, mostly Anglo board together. And they started meeting together. The larger Alliance family provided counsel along the way. At one time, they came to the Anglo board and they said, "Wait a minute, they aren't joining you. You're coming in as equals." And they worked on that, and they went slowly and slowly and slowly, and then finally they renamed the church. Wellspring Church was the name of the second generation Korean church. And they are now one congregation, and they have a Korean pastor. Second generation Korean pastor. Okay? And they have a real mix of congregations and they work together. They have some Korean staff, they have some other staff, traditional staff, majority culture staff, whatever you call it. And they're making the Alliance family stand up and take notice. And I can't imagine what's happening in that town because that whole area is becoming very Asian. Just southwest of Chicago. And there's something incredible that's going on in that place. Two groups of very different people, very different backgrounds that are working together in love. And what is making it happen? It's Jesus. It's Jesus that is at work in them as they submit to one another out of love for Christ. The primary way that Jesus seems to show that he is alive in this world is by helping brothers and sisters who are very different submit to one another out of love for Christ to become, as Paul puts it, one human being instead of two or three or 10 or 20 or 50 or 100. By making us truly one in Christ. And then he lives out his life through us. He does things through us together that we can't do apart. He unites us as he shines his life through us, helps us to love each other, to forgive each other with the forgiveness that we have been given in him. Helps us to be a place of love that our world is oh so desperate to know. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer?